Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Christmas is an amazing reminder that our lives are filled with meaning. It's a message that reaches beyond dogma and belief, and it touches our spirit. And at its heart, it's given freely. It's given in perfect love and grace. And it's unearned, it's unconditional, which really makes it a gift in the truest sense of the word. Today, we lit the candle of love, bringing comfort and joy where love seemed impossible. And God thrives in making the impossible possible. That's when change comes, lasting change. Big thanks to all our Calvary Advent families over the past month who've done just such a spectacular job with our Advent readings as we've lit the candles and had this sense of expectation as we move closer and closer towards Christmas. And here we are on the doorstep. Did I mention how excited I am about our Christmas Eve candlelight family services here at Calvary? Coming this Tuesday night, 3 o'clock, 4:30, 6 p.m. This is going to be incredible. We look forward to this all year long. There will be Christmas readings, there'll be carols, there'll be free hot cocoa, festive music. There'll be a reading of the Christmas story for the kids, complete with snow, and it's going to be a powerful time. And we're gonna hear the gospel in a wonderful way as we celebrate together. So invite your friends, invite your family and your neighbors. There's still invitations that you can pick up on the seats here today, or pick some up in the foyer, or drop by the church. Put these in the hands of people that you're praying for and believing to come on Christmas Eve. And come early. Bring your friends, your family, your neighbors early, because all three of those services will fill up quickly. And so we really want you to be a part of all of them. Today we continue with episode 4 of our Comfort and Joy Advent series leading up to Christmas. And since the beginning of the month, we've taken a closer look at the life-changing themes of hope, of peace, and joy. And today we're going to focus on the power of love. So powerful. And God chose Mary so many years ago to bring love into her world, and now he's chosen you and I to bring his love into ours. The coming of Christ at Christmas is the greatest expression of selfless love for those who needed him, and we desperately needed him. God loved us in the most amazing way, in the way that we needed to be loved. We needed salvation. We needed deliverance from sin and religion. We needed to find our way back to God. God is in this moment, you know, basically saying to us, listen, I'll come. I'm going to send my son to be the source of your hope, your peace, your joy, and your love. I'm going to provide for you what you could never provide for yourself. Jesus coming into the world at Christmas is the greatest expression of love that the world will ever know. He loved us even when we were unlovable and not on good terms. It's pretty easy to love somebody that you like, right? It's pretty easy to show love to people that you're on good terms with. But God loved us when we weren't lovable, when we weren't on good terms with him. That's what his love does. It always goes past those things. It sees through them. This Advent, as we see the coming of Christ as central to the mission of God, I want you to realize two very important things. First, God's coming to us is the greatest expression of his love. And second, that our coming back to him is the greatest expression of our love to him. So let's just take a moment today and unpack both of those. The first one is God so loved us, he came to us. He willingly came and he gave his life for each of us. Turn with me in the Bible, your scriptures, if you would, to Matthew chapter 1. Let's start in verse 21 through 23. The angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream, and he says this to Joseph of Mary. He says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. There's the reason he came. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The coming of Jesus to earth is the coming of God. God's desire to come and be among us, to be among a people who were really undeserving, who were fallen, who were wrapped up in sin and religion, was birthed out of his great love for each of us. Not the way he received love, but the way we needed to be loved. The coming of Jesus was about the mission of God. It was about salvation. It was about rescue and redemption, the redemption of mankind. His love sent Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. The most humble, selfless, loving act in all of human history. John 3:16 and 17 is a scripture that many of you are familiar with, but it's something that we cannot ever let go of revisiting in our lives. It says, for God so loved the world, in other words, he loved us so much that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him. Now, I want to just stop there for a minute, because whenever you see the word believe in the New Testament, it means something more than just accepting something to be true. It means to commit your mental awareness to something so much so that you will devote your life to it. So it's not like just saying, I believe in gravity. No, this is a much bigger commitment. It's basically saying whoever believes or puts their life in his hands shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, so that's not why he came. He didn't come to condemn you. You may find from time to time that some of his people will try to condemn you, so we're just going to have to leave them with the Lord. But God's MO was never to condemn. That's not why he came. That's not why heaven touched earth. He came to save the world through him. Again, didn't come to condemn, he came to transform us. Religion loves to condemn. It's part of the DNA. They have rules for rules' sake. You need to wear the right thing, you need to say the right thing, you need to spend time with the right people, you need to be clones, you need to follow the rules. And although there are commandments and guidelines in Scripture to guide us in how we are to live our lives, the source of who we are is not found in that. And so that's not why Jesus came. That's not what he came to do. He came to transform you so that you could experience not only eternal life, but eternal living. That your experience of heaven and the kingdom can start the moment you say yes to following him. The primary reason for Jesus coming to the earth in the form of a baby that we celebrate at Christmas was because God so loved the world. That's what we're talking about today, is his love. And at Christmas, we need to understand that his motivation to give his son is always coming from that place of love. Love always moves us to a place of action, of doing something. And when someone gives us a gift, even at Christmas, is their way of expressing their love through thoughtfulness, through intentionality, right? They've taken time, they've spent their money, they've been thinking about you. Robert Louis Stevenson once said, you can give without loving, but you can never love without giving. God is the greatest gift giver of them all, and Jesus is the greatest gift. But you need to know that you are the center and his focus when it comes to his love. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, very powerfully says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So even when we were weasels, even when we didn't deserve it, even when we weren't acting or living the way that we should, he put a plan in motion to rescue you from yourselves sometimes. That's how much he loved us. The greatest Christmas gift ever, the greatest Christmas gift that was ever given is the one that God gave when he chose to come into our brokenness and he came into our mess and showed us his love. Now, that's the first part. Let me give you the second part. Number two is we so love God that we come to him. So we so love him that we come to him in every possible way. That's our response to him coming to us in love. We give him our lives because he gave us his life, right? In the Christmas story, we read of the wise men, of the Magi. You see them in the nativity scenes. Not everybody understands a lot about the Magi, but the scripture tells us enough that I believe that these men who came from the east with gifts for the newborn king is really a great kind of path and model for us in how we come to Christ today. Let's turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 2. Going to start in verse 1 and 2 and then jump down to verse 9 through 11. Matthew 2:1 says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and they asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and we have come to worship him. Now the scripture then goes on to say that this news disturbed Herod. He wasn't looking to share the spotlight with anybody. Haters are always going to hate. It's almost like gravity now. We just know. So he calls his chief priests together. He gets the Magi. He says, I need to talk to all of you so that we can figure out together where this Messiah is being born. Because I want to go and I want to worship him too. No, he wants to kill him, right? And so he does his best to get the intel that he needs so that he can bring an end to this before it even begins. Scripture goes on to say in verse 9, says, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them. Very interesting, right? Stars don't typically move. And so this is a miracle of God, either a moving star or an angel or a combination of both. It says the star moved until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. These reserved, wise men who were respected in their field of understanding and interest now were coming unglued. They were so excited. It says on coming to the house, notice I didn't say on coming to the manger. Oftentimes we think that the wise man rolled up to the manger scene. And there wasn't necessarily three of them. It could have been more than three. We know that there was three gifts that were identified, but it could have been more. But they're now coming to the house sometime after Jesus' birth. And it says, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now this, to me, this account is an amazing model for each of us in how we come to Jesus. These wise guys were willing to leave all of their comforts to seek him, to find him, and to worship him. Now, to me, that's really true love. There's not too many people I would walk across the desert to go and see. And yet they went on a very long journey to see him. This was a commitment. This was something they had to truly lean into. And it was a great picture of love in action. And they brought their most prized possessions and they laid them down at his feet. Now, before they even saw Jesus, verse 10 says that when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. How many know people will go nuts just to get a glimpse of someone famous? It's the hunger for celebrity, right? And we've seen it over the years. Some people will even pass out when they meet some of the people that they just idolize. We see it all the way back to, you know, Elvis and the Beatles right through to Taylor Swift, who was just here on the last leg of her tour. When she was here in her concert on all the nights that she was here performing, the people that couldn't afford tickets still went. And they stood out in the cold listening to the music just to be close to her in that environment. But let's look at the level of joy and excitement that these very reserved, wise men demonstrated before they even met Jesus. That's the way I want to live my life. Our walk with God should be an exciting one, should be something that you can't wait to tell somebody about, right? Before he ever answers my prayer or comes through for me, before I ever roll into church on a Sunday morning, I'm filled with great joy just because I'm following him. That's the kind of wow factor that needs to be a part of our relationship with him. Then in verse 11, it says, they bowed down and they worshiped him. And I guarantee you that these wise men wouldn't be bowing to just anybody, let alone a child. But that's the posture of someone who's in love with Jesus. And I'm not just talking about the action of actually bowing down to the ground. This should be the posture in every part of our lives. When I come to Christ, I lay everything at his feet in worship. My marriage, my parenting, my dreams, my business, my finances, all of it. I lay it all at his feet. That's what he's looking for us to do. Not to just sing a song and worship, but to live a life as an act of worship. Living a life that honors God first as we seek him first. And no matter what I'm feeling, I take it to him. I bow down and I worship him. I surrender control to his control. So what are we bowing to today in our lives? Looks a little different than it did back in those days, but for us, for many of us, it could be fear. Could be bowing down to the pressures of culture or money or addiction. Where are we going in our lives to find comfort and joy? For God so loved the world that he gave his son, Jesus. That's the pattern that he's given us. That's the pattern of love that he wants us to walk in. How are we doing today when we take some inventory? How are we doing with the model of the Magi and how they came to Jesus? Are we filled with great joy when we get to serve him, when we get to serve his people? Are we worshiping him with our time, with our talent, with our treasure? Are we worshiping in every area of our lives? Well, obviously none of us are perfect, but we should be on a road to be walking that truth out. God so loved us, he came to us. We so loved God, we come to him. And he didn't just say it. He didn't just say, I love you. He demonstrated it by laying down his life for you. So will you give your life to him today? That's my prayer for you, because he's the greatest gift of all. Let's take some time in prayer. And I want to pray for those of you today that perhaps, whether you're here in the house or whether you're home, I want to pray that you'd have the opportunity today to say yes to Jesus, to following him in your life, to experiencing the hope, the peace, the joy, and the love that he's come to show you. God so loved the world. God so loved you that he sent his son Jesus to lay his life down so that you could live yours. Lord Jesus, we come to you today and we pray for those listening to this podcast or watching online, those that are here gathered at the church live and in person. We pray for all of them, but especially for those that are seeking, like the wise men were, seeking answers, knowing that they're being drawn to you and coming to a place where that joy causes them to bow down and worship. Today, I pray for those people. And if that's you today, if you say in your life, in your heart, if you'd say, Pastor Steve, would you pray for me? I need to know his love in that way. I need to follow him. Then you can pray this simple prayer with me. It's just acknowledging what he's done. Lord Jesus, I thank you that out of your love, you came and you died on a cross for me. I thank you for the forgiveness of my sins And I ask you to come into my heart, to be my Lord and to be my Savior and to help me show the same love that you've shown to me. I thank you for that gift at Christmas. And I ask you to let your light shine in and through me. Now, Lord, I also pray for everyone else who's prayed that prayer many years ago, perhaps. I pray that at this season, as we prepare ourselves in the next few days, Lord, I pray that we would celebrate your coming to earth when love came down, when love changed everything and transformed our lives. I pray that you would strengthen each one of us with that love today, that we would in turn shine it and show it to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's best, Calvary. A couple of days coming up, we're going to be joining all of you here for Christmas Eve. And so we want to encourage you to continue inviting people. Get all the invitations you can. Put them in the people's hands. Don't just invite them. Bring them with you. Three services at 3, 4:30, and 6. Come early. They will fill up quick. Let's come together and let our light shine.